Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In our text for this Exaudi, the first Sunday after the Ascension, and also the seventh Sunday of Easter, is taken from the first epistle of St. Peter, chapter 5, and we will read verses 5 through 11. That's 1 Peter 5, verses 5 through 11, where we read in the name of our Lord. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, will make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, we do thank you, Father, for this your word. We pray, Father, that you would give us understanding of the same, and even as we heard our Lord Jesus say, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth, for Jesus' name's sake. Amen. This is indeed where we come to the conclusion of this epistle. Really quite a marvelous epistle. You know, we've kind of gone through the thing in the previous sermons to understand in reality what St. Peter was really talking about. St. Peter was really trying to understand and really pointing out the fact that life doesn't always go the way that we expect it to. Sometimes we think that certain things are going to happen and they don't. And especially we get to the point where as Christians, we kind of think that everything should be smooth sailing, and when it's not, we're kind of looking around at God, trying to figure out what's wrong with God, or we're running around trying to figure out what sin did I commit, now if I can get God off my back, and things like that, and that's just nuts. And, you know, I'm not a sentimentalist, so that's the way I put it. St. Peter put it better. But, you know, this is really what he's talking about. Is to understand, and when he's talking about the younger here, he's not talking about like young people in general. He was talking about those that serve in the office of pastor. He was really talking about those who are younger in that office should really listen to those who are older. And he, of course, is one of the older ones who have been in the faith a lot longer. But he says a very significant thing. He says, all of you should be subject to one another. And this is really a very fundamental teaching of the Christian faith. This is the context in which he utters these words, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. You see, there's nothing wrong with being proud. If you're good at something, be good at it. You know, that's not what he's talking about. If you're good at something, be good at it. God doesn't care. God gave you the gift, you know, so be good at it. What he's talking about is to understand very clearly is to realize that you recognize that this is the gift of God. There's nothing wrong with being proud of achievement. That's good. You know, I don't want to go to somebody that builds me a house and says, hey, I don't really know what I'm doing. You know, if you got somebody that shows up and does that, I ain't buying that house. That's crazy. You know, you understand that this is really what he's talking about. He understands, be clothed with humility. He says to understand that this is a gift that's given to you, that you're functioning, working for God. And everything that we do is functioning for God. And he says, to understand then that you are able to be subject to one another. In other words, I can look at another person and I don't evaluate that person just from being that person. I evaluate that person in the person of Jesus Christ. I subject myself to that person, not because of any wonderful thing or anything like that, but because they're children of God. I listen to what they have to say. I respect them as a human being. I listen to these things because they are God's own children. And that's what Peter says. There should be no air of superiority, he says. There's no air of superiority. And he, of course, can speak very freely about this because, let's face it, he's St. Peter. You know, I mean, it comes to people in the ancient church, it's kind of hard to find one who's higher up the ladder than St. Peter. And St. Peter is really instructing himself as well as all of us to be in submission, to be kind, to be gentle, to be understanding. And he says, because God gives grace for that. God gives grace for that. It's not always easy, but God gives grace for it, to be able to do it, to maintain the bond of peace, to maintain the fellowship of the church. And he says, so therefore, be humble or lowly under God's mighty hand. And he uses this great contrast in Greek. To be lowly, but under God's hand of power. Recognize that when you're doing this, the power of God is upon you. You see, the great thing about the apostles was recognizing the change, and of course we'll talk about this next week at Pentecost. Not like it happens next week, it already happened. But the apostles received this great power through the coming of the Holy Spirit. And when they received that power, it changed their whole view of the world. That all of a sudden what had been to them unclean, because that's the way they would have been raised, that now all of a sudden it was okay. Not only was it okay, but it was necessary to go out into the world and to engage the world with the gospel, to bring the message of the gospel to the world. And they understood very clearly that it was fully acceptable to do this. They didn't have to fear it. You see, we've been taught to fear the world. Why? Why? Why would we ever fear it? We're the only ones that really have the power to engage it. And this is what the apostles learned. Was being able to engage the world, to be able to go into the world with confidence, with a pride, knowing whose they were, that they belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that engaging the world wouldn't stand a chance. And that's what St. Paul wrote. St. Paul wrote that to the church in Rome. To understand, he wasn't afraid to get to Rome. He was trying to get to Rome. And as soon as God let him get to Rome, he basically says, Rome's not going to stand a chance. The same thing's going to happen to Rome that happened to the cities in Asia Minor that I went to. Because the gospel, it's the gospel that will do its work. It doesn't need to be tweaked. It doesn't need to be adjusted. It needs to be proclaimed. It needs to be lived. And nobody learned this more than St. Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times. Peter learned that God was not vindictive. God was forgiving. And he could count on God to be gracious. And if St. Peter could count on God to be gracious, then we can count on God to be gracious. And we can count on God to be gracious to anyone and everyone. Anyone and everyone that will come to him, God will simply be gracious to. And that's why he says, if you have any concern over anything, he says, you know, which of course we don't, we never worry at all. Says very clearly, if you have any concern over anything, he says, then, Greek is great. It says in Greek, then throw it on God, is what it says. You know, it says, toss it on God. If you're concerned about something, if you're worried about something, St. Peter says very clearly, then throw it on God. Let God take it. As a matter of fact, he can bear it quite handily. Because, he says, he cares about you. And that's the whole deal. He actually cares about us. He cares about us corporately, and he cares about us individually. God looks upon us fondly. He gave us Jesus in order to redeem us, in order to save us, that by the power of his shed blood, we would know the forgiveness of sin, and we would come freely before him to receive every good gift from his hand. The God who cares for us, the God who loves us, cannot and will not ever, ever, ever turn away from us. He is constantly with us because he so loves us. And that's why he says, he uses the term sober, but actually in Greek it means to be level-headed. Be level-headed. You know, when it comes down to these sort of things, and I know they had to go help with the breakfast, but when it comes to this sort of thing, you understand. If something look, you know, I'm not sentimental. If something looks stupid, don't do it. Don't do stupid stuff. You know, I used to listen to these graduation speeches. I was wondering, what the heck are these people talking about? Here's the secret of life. If something looks stupid, don't do it. Don't do stupid stuff. And if something looks stupid and somebody's telling you to do it, back up, take a look, and evaluate it and say, no, that's stupid. I ain't doing that. It's easy. It's about the simplest thing there is. Don't do stupid stuff. And basically, this is what Peter is talking about. Be level-headed. Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid and do stupid stuff. Stupid is as stupid does, famous people quoted in a movie once. The fact of the matter is that that's the way it is. And this is what Peter is talking about. Don't be stupid. Pay attention, be level-headed. Keep yourself clear-minded, he says, and be alert. He says to be aware, be aware. And he says, why? Because your accuser, and he uses this terminology, accuser, to understand that's what happens, and that's what happens in so many people's lives. They become accused. Instead of understanding the finished work of Jesus Christ and that they can go to the throne of grace with boldness, they buy into the accuser who tells them that they're no good. That somehow or another, you know, once you botch things up, that's it. You know, there's no chance for you. And the accuser is very ready to lie and to tell you that all the time, to make sure that you understand that you are no good, instead of understanding, no, that's not quite right. As a matter of fact, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and this conversation is over. You see, the reality of things is to understand what Jesus Christ has done for us in life and then to live in that way. To not buy the accusation, not buy the lie, but to realize the truth that even in our worst day, we cannot change the fact that God sent his only begotten Son to suffer and die on a cross for us and rose from the dead and took us with him, which is what we talk about in the Ascension, so that we would live and abide with him forever. Don't be stupid. Be level-headed. Understand. There is no accusation that can be brought against you. No charge can be leveled against you now, as St. Paul says in Romans 8. No charge. No charge. Because we are free in Jesus Christ. And this is why Paul says that Satan goes around looking for people to swallow up. He swallows them up with that deceit. He brings them in and tells them, hey, you're no good. You know, I tell you that all the time. One of the greatest things that bothers me is when I go outside the church and I'm listening to people and they say stuff like, well, God wouldn't want me, you know, or I've done this sort of thing or that sort of thing like that, you know. And you're sitting there like, well, I hate to tell you, that's all that the church is full of, is people that God wouldn't want. You know, the fact of the matter is are none of us on our own are what God would want. But the fact of the matter is that God wanted us so bad that he gave us Jesus in order to make sure that we would be here, that we would receive that gospel, that we would know it, that even in our worst moment, that we would understand and know the depth of the love of God, and that that love would seize us through the Spirit of God, and we would know, oh yes, yes, and we would hear those words, oh, you're mine, you're mine, you're mine, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. And this is why Peter says, to whom you must stand up firm by faith. He says, because this is something that's going on through all of the church. He says, all of your brothers and sisters are all going through the same thing. He says, worldwide, that's what happens to all of us. We all go through this. He says, now the God of all grace, I don't even know how to put that any better. The God of all grace. Not partial grace, all of it. Not some, all. The God of all grace, who called you into his eternal splendor in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore, strengthen, fortify, and found you. He will establish you. He will build you up. He says, to him is the splendor and the might forever. So it is. Some of us graduated from high school a number of years ago. It's 50 for me. And you understand, this one thing never changes. This is the reality of the promise of the gospel. That every day, every moment that we draw breath, every moment, the God of all grace who called us, keeps us, and he sustains us in the midst of difficulty, sorrow, suffering, pain, in just the vicissitudes of life. In the ups and downs that life brings, God sustains us. He sustains us. And not only does he sustain us, but he fortifies us and he establishes us because he is delighted with us. He's just flat out pleased with us. And that's why St. Peter can say, all the glory belongs to God. Everything in life that is good, that is upright, that is holy, that is wonderful, belongs to God, and it's all his gift. And this is the understanding that we come to the church for. You see, because this whole idea has gotten totally messed up, is to understand that somehow we come to church in some sort of action that, like, is meritorious or something like that. No. We come to church. We come to assemble with the people of God because of the privilege of knowing God. In understanding very clearly that God is with us when we're in church and when we're not. That God constantly abides with us through the gospel. That God constantly keeps us and sustains us. That God is always our God. And we are always his offspring. And we live in that way. We bank on it. We bank on it. I bank on that every day. I got to tell you, when I wake up in the morning, I bank on grace. Because I know other than that, I ain't going to make it anywhere. I need that grace. I constantly need it. I have constantly needed it since I can remember needing anything. To realize that that grace, it's that grace that sustains us. It's the grace that keeps us. It's the grace that tells us in the midst of our most miserable moment that we are God's own possession. And it is God who is the guarantee to us of eternity and life and every good gift. And he's guaranteed it by giving us his Holy Spirit to indwell us and live in us. And that's a little tease for next Sunday. Because that's the whole sense of Pentecost. To recognize the fullness of God. That it's dwelling in you and it's dwelling in me. And that's why St. Peter can tell us, be subject to one another. Because the person that you are serving is not the other person, as the scripture points out, but God. It's God who is being served. And that's what makes this whole church thing work. Until the time comes when we won't have need of it anymore. And we will be present for eternity and gaze into the face of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and realize the fullness of that promise, that he never left us, nor did he ever forsake us. But he kept us forever in a place that he had prepared for us. And that's the gospel. It's just flat out good news. So enjoy it. It's yours to enjoy. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, that indeed is what you are. Our gracious Heavenly Father, our keeper, our sustainer, our redeemer. You are the blessing of blessings and the hope of all hope. So it is this day we look to you once again for that blessing. And we come to you through the supper, Father. We come to you, we come to you. And we expect good things from you, Father. And you give us your Son, his body and his blood. You feed us and you strengthen us and you enable us, Father, to know the depth of your love for us. Grant us that this day, Father, that as we've come into this place, so we would leave even the more enriched for having partaken of you and knowing, Father, the depth of your love the power of the resurrection of your Son, and the truth of the gospel, that we may share that, Father, with those around us, and the world may know how truly good you are. For Jesus' name's sake, amen.